News Talk 760 WJR. Online. The great voice of the Great Lakes. When you want it. The Frank Beckman Show.
Bart Stupak, Congressman, on the other end of our line. We'll get you one too, Congressman. How are you?
Good, Frank.
Nice to have you with us. Well, last week you were on with us before the vote on the health care bill in the House, and you said there's no way that you and a lot of other pro-life Dems, about three dozen of you, I guess, or so, were going to vote in favor of this as long as it included a provision that would allow government-funded abortion. That got removed, I understand. Exactly what does the amendment say? And then we'll move on to the response since then.
Well, contrary to what's been reported, my amendment, the Stupak Amendment, the only thing it does is extend current law, which is the Hyde language, which says no public funding for abortion and no public funding for abortion policies that cover, or I should say insurance policies that cover abortion. So all we did was extend current law. I know everyone is trying to say that, oh, it puts further restrictions and you can't use your own private money to buy abortion coverage. That's the farthest thing from the truth. It does not. It just maintains current law. It's the same law that's been on books for the last 37 years.
Are you at all concerned, though, that if we eventually do get to this government-run health care, which is the goal of so many, that this is going to creep in at some point? We've seen this in so many areas. You chip away one little issue at a time, and before you know it, it's going to be included down the road?
No. I don't think we can chip away anymore because the opposition and even the president and Harry Reid in the Senate has said, look, we should just really maintain current law. And that's all we've done. So I'm not worried about our language getting expanded. If anything, I'm more concerned about it being restricted back where public funding for abortion could become a reality underneath the Senate bill. So we got to make sure our amendment holds in the Senate.
Okay. The president was recently interviewed, I'm not sure if it was Sunday or Monday, by Jake Tapper of ABC. And he was asked about his promise that health care reform would not fund abortion. The president, remember back when he talked to Congress in that televised address,
correct,
said there were strong feelings about the unamended legislation. And let's listen to the president's response to Jake Tapper.
You know, I laid out a very simple principle, which is this is a health care bill, not an abortion bill. And we're not looking to change what is a core principle that has been in place for a very long time, which is federal dollars are not used to subsidize abortions. And I want to make sure that the provision that emerges meets that test, that we are not in some way sneaking in funding for abortions, but on the other hand, that we're not restricting women's insurance choices, because one of the pledges I made in that same speech was to say, if you're happy and satisfied with the insurance that you have, it's not going to change. So, you know, this is going to be a complex set of negotiations. I'm confident that we can actually arrive at this place where neither side feels that it's being betrayed. But it's going to take some time.
How do you arrive at that place where you have both, where women can feel that the government is funding abortions and vice versa, that you're happy with your side? How do you get to both sides at once?
Well, I think the pertinent part that the president said was, let's keep current law. Current law, women can buy coverage that has abortion. They just can't use federal subsidies to do it. And that's current law, and that's the law that should exist. And that's all my amendment does. It is exactly what the president said. We don't go too far. We don't go too less. What the other side wants, with the CAHPS amendment and all that said, was in the public option, everyone who enrolls must pay $1 per month. It's found on page 97 and 98 of the bill. $1 per month into this public option to pay for abortion coverage. They wanted to say, okay, Frank, I'm going to use, if you're getting a federal subsidy, you use your dollar and the federal dollars that we put in to help you afford this health care plan, we'll pretend that's not a subsidy. We'll just segregate it and see, you only really bought the abortion coverage with your money. Forget the fact that you had to have federal help or federal money to afford it, the policy. I mean, they're trying to split hairs, if you will. And we just said, no, that's not what current law is. Current law is very clear. If you're a federal employee right now, man, woman, or child, you cannot buy an insurance policy with federal funds. And that's always been the policy. I don't care if you're on Medicare, SCHIP, Indian Health Services, TRICARE, Veterans, any SCHIP, Children's Health Initiative, you can't. We just renewed that this year. Everyone knew that was the law. They tried to sneak one in on the bill on July 30th, about late at night when we were arguing the bill in committee, and they passed it by two votes. I tried to strip the language in committee. I lost by two votes, and the battle's been on since then.
All right. Now, the battle continues even now.
Sure.
Though your amendment has been included, the Stupak amendment, you've got a group, this far-left group called the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, that sent out an email challenge yesterday trying to raise money online for ads against you on this issue. They wanted 10 grand. In under 5 hours, they got over 12 grand from 425 contributors. Give me your reaction to the far-left turning on you like this.
Well, you know, the far left is the one who wants health care. They never would have received health care if it wasn't for Bart Stupak and the Stupak Amendment. So many members, there were a number of us who said, unless we have a vote on this issue, we will not support health care. We get our vote, we pass our amendment, which is current law, and then we pass what those progressives want the most. This is this health care plan, and so they turn on you. I mean, you know, it's like anything else in every vote I do. Some are happy, some are not. So instead of condemning us, the progressives should be looking at it as and saying, thanks. You know, the article in the Political Daily yesterday was Bart Stupak saves health care and the Democratic Party. And so, I mean, you know, it's just how you want to look at it. I mean, yeah, I just wish the progressive group and the rest of them would take a deep breath, read the bill, and then read the Stupak message, I mean, Stupak amendment, and they'll know that we've done nothing but keep current law. Even the little blurb they put out before we go vote, the majority leader, Steny Hoyer, who did not vote with us, they put out a synopsis of each amendment we're voting on, each bill we're voting on. And even he says in there, women still can use their own money to buy abortion coverage, elective abortion coverage. It's not mandated. This is basically current law. I mean, all the facts supporting the amendment say that, including from progressive members of Congress. But I guess some groups just want a, you know, reason to raise money, that's all.
Perhaps so. Now, you mentioned the article that said Bart Stupak saves the Democratic Party and health care. I want you to address a couple of items related to that for me. Number one, Rasmussen poll that shows Americans are against this health care plan, 52-45%. And number two, a generic poll by Gallup, and I think Rasmussen had one too, that shows that Republicans are now more favored over Democrats after all of this debate and the vote. Has this issue saved Democrats or sunk them?
Well, I think in the long run, of course, we still got ways to go yet. We still got a ways to go yet. We still got the Senate bill. We still got to work out differences between House and Senate. I think for the Democratic Party, who's placed the whole campaign last year on health care, I think it's necessary for them to pass health care. And even those polls you say 45, 52, whatever it was there, Rasmussen, all those, that, you know, in my office, the calls and emails, all that's running about 50-50, and that's probably about right. And the more members get out and say, here's what the bill actually proposes, I think people come across with a little different point of view. So it's coming. It's going to, you know, people want to see what it is. There's this great unknown. Yeah, you're passing health care. We don't like it because we don't know what it is. I agree with that, and that's why it's incumbent upon me and all other members of Congress and the president to get out there and say, here's what the bill does. Mm-hmm. Here's what it doesn't do.
What do you say to those of your constituents? And I understand you had a town hall meeting in Escanaba last night.
Yes.
What do you say to constituents who bring up the part about being forced to buy health insurance by this legislation under the threat of fine and or jail time through IRS guidelines if they don't comply?
Right. Everyone, if you do not wish to buy the health care, your wages are taxed at 2.5%. If you don't pay the 2.5% for whatever reason, you falsify a record saying you have it, that is tax fraud. Therefore, then you end up underneath the penalties of the tax fraud. Is anyone going to jail because they didn't buy a health insurance policy? No. Are they going to face some fines and costs and have to pay the 2.5%? Yes.
Could be some, but the threat of the jail time is there. I mean,
well, but,
we can say no, you're not going to. But
you know, for speeding, you get fine and costs, and you can get up to 90 days in jail. Not very many people ever go to jail for speeding, do they?
Well, we need another Stupak amendment then that says no jail time.
But again, if you didn't buy a, everyone has said, and this was part of the debate the other day on the floor, you're not going to jail. What it is,
but the threat is there, Congressman. If the threat is there,
evasion.
It can be used.
Look, if it's tax evasion, if you're hiding 2.5% because you didn't want to pay your health care, you're probably defrauding the government out of other taxes properly owed too. So I would urge people, just pay. If you don't want to go along with it, pay your 2.5%. It's like the Medicare tax. Does anyone like paying the Medicare tax that we all pay? No, but we pay it because we all have to come together and contribute to the health care system to make sure it's there. People only want health care system be there when they get sick or when they get hurt. That's not the way it goes. Hospitals don't, you don't call them in the meantime and say, hey, I'm coming in, turn on the lights, warm up the CT scan because I might need it. You pay for it all the time, so when it's there, when you need it, it's there when you need it. And everyone's got to pitch in on this. Otherwise, we're just back to the haves and the have-nots again, getting health insurance and all the rest of us being stuck in the middle.
Yeah, you're one of the haves here. You know that.
How's that?
Well, you've got that great coverage through your job.
Yeah, I don't take the congressional health care benefit.
You don't? You pay for your own?
I pay for it through my former employer. I have to pay for it. I promised when I went in 92 I would not take the congressional because you guys all said it was a great Cadillac plan. And I just said, no, I wouldn't take it. And I do have coverage. It's through my state police retirement. But believe me, I'd be better off underneath the federal plan. But I made a promise. And I'm not crabbing about it.
No, you still got pretty good coverage from that state police plan.
I pay it, and I'm not crabbing about it. The point I'm trying to make was, no, I promised in 92 I wouldn't take it until everybody had health care, and I've kept it my word.
Now, Congressman, you're a reasonable guy. You understand the argument from people who say the government's got no business telling me I have to buy this? Where in the Constitution does it say you got that right?
Well, these are the same people who say, you know, I don't want government telling me I have to pay taxes. Where do I think we have
the right? No, they're not necessarily the same.
Yeah, they are pretty much, Frank.
I have no problem paying legitimate taxes, but I don't like Congress telling you. I have trouble finding in the Constitution any provision there.
Article 1.
Section 8?
Yeah, Article 1, Section 8.
Where does it say that?
It says, for the good and welfare of the American
people.
Aha,
and what did Madison, the man who wrote that, say about that?
Well,
he said if we allow that phrase to be used to be applied to any issue, then it overrides the entire Constitution, and that's not how it was intended.
And my counter-argument to Mr. Madison and you...
He wrote it, though.
I know, and my counter-argument, and not everyone agreed with Madison. That's why it took a number of years later to get the Bill of Rights, because not everyone agreed with Madison and Jefferson, and the country argued about it. He set up, when they first set up, was an Article of Confederation. It wasn't constitutional democracy like we have now.
Right.
We started off the Articles of Confederation. But what they found, even under the Article of Confederation, we all had to come together for a common good of the United States, the country that we created.
That's why they wrote the Constitution.
Right. And that phrase in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, has been litigated many, many times. And as our democracy and as our country has evolved, there are things like health care, where the majority of the Democratic elected representatives and senators and the president, if they agree that this is in the best interest and the general welfare of the United States, and we pass the bill in our House 218, in the Senate 51, and the president signs it, it becomes law. There will be challenges. There will be challenges. I agree with you.
Congressman, with all due respect,
our purview.
If you're promoting that, with all due respect, I think you're promoting tyranny. You are not following the Constitution, which says that there are ways to change the Constitution through amendment, and a majority vote in the Congress is not one of them. That is not what the framers wanted.
The Constitution does not restrict.
The Constitution does restrict the powers of the federal government.
Yes, but once the majority of the federal government says, we believe, and we've reviewed the legislation, and we believe this is in the best interest of our country, we vote for the best interest of our country. And when the majority agrees, under our democracy, that's the rule of law.
That is not what 1-8 says.
And if you disagree with that, as obviously you do, then you're right, after we do it, because we have a balance of power, take it to the court system.
And that's where activist judges come in. That's why the courts are being loaded with people
who will back
that point of view for a breathing document that was not intended to be that way.
And I'll bet you, your Frank Beckman travel mug, that the Supreme Court will rule the law is constitutional. Look at the closest analogy we have right now. If you drive a car in the state of Michigan, you must have insurance.
Sure, but you have a choice on whether to buy a car. You don't have to buy a car.
That's right.
If I don't have a car, I don't need insurance. But you're telling me now, just because I live and breathe on this planet, I have to have insurance. It's totally different.
In this country, right.
Yeah. And it's also a state law and not a federal law. And the state has given the power to make laws individually.
That's why some senators agree with you, Frank, and that's why they're talking about an opt-out or opt-in system for the public option. So states could opt in or opt out. So in a way, your remuneration of powers back to the states, reserved unto the states, plays out as a stronger argument in the Senate than it does in the House of Representatives.
And you know what, Congressman, we've gone way over it.
Sure,
I apologize for that. But,
no
but by the same token, if you threaten the states with a cutoff of funding, if they take that action, then in essence you've taken that power away from them.
I haven't heard anyone say they would threaten states to do it.
Well, that's
some common ground
Let me give you a perfect example. The speed limit law was a perfect example. The federal government
told
states that it would withhold highway funding if states didn't go to 55 miles an hour. So they had to comply. Same thing's going to happen here when you say, well, states can opt out. No, they can't.
Yeah,
because
I haven't seen that yet.
The same threat, it's going to be made.
The argument is more, are states going to automatically be in than opt out, or is it going to be no opt in? We'll see where we go. I believe we should have a public option. In order to pay for it, I think everybody has to pitch in a fair share.
All right. I'd love having you on. We can discuss these things civilly and like gentlemen. I appreciate that. And I'll get you one of the mugs.
Anytime. Well, that's our bet now. If the Supreme Court rules it, I'll return the mug.
You think
I
it's
won't
gonna,
use it until, well, you, until you, we have that court case.
Do you think it's going to be challenged in court?
Oh, yes. Yes.
You think the public option and the national health care bill will be challenged in court before it ever goes into effect?
No matter what we do, it will be challenged because some people, as you have argued, and articulately so, that we have no business in health care. So some people, I'm sure there will be a challenge by some group.
All right. We appreciate it. Congressman, always good to talk.
Talking about what matters to you. Frank Beckman Middays. Catch it live on News Talk 760 WJR AM. And stay up to date online at WJR.com.